This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focus and let Word of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Welcome to the Living Your Destiny broadcast with Dr. John Barton, bringing you the... Welcome to the Living Your Destiny...
Let's look at the gospel according to Matthew. Amen. Verse 18 and verse 19. You have it. So I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And I want to use for a thought, why hell can't prevail against us. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, did you know that hell cannot prevail against us? Amen. You included yourself in the church. Amen. Amen. So when we talk about the gospel of Matthew, we know that Matthew, whose real name, his Hebrew name, is Levi. Levi meaning that it puts him in the lineage of the priesthood. But this Matthew had been a tax collector who had collected taxes. And Jesus passed by one day. And when he passed by, he told him to follow him. And immediately he got up and he followed Jesus. Amen. And for many of us, it is not as simple as it was for Matthew. Because when Matthew got up and followed Jesus, he left behind all the things that he had encountered, all the things that he had been into. Amen. He left those things behind and he followed Jesus wholeheartedly for 3.5 years. And many of us, it takes a little bit more. For the moment, we want to serve him, and then we say, man, there's a whole lot of stuff we're missing out on. So we go back and do that a little bit, then we come back. Amen. But Matthew, or Levi, he was kind of out of, he knew he was out of his element, even though he had a lucrative job. He knew he was out of what God had called him to do, because he, being of the priesthood, of the lineage of the priesthood, he should have been operating in some capacity of ministry, but he was out making money on the taxes that he was collecting. Amen. Sometimes we make decisions based upon what's more lucrative for us rather than what is best for us according to the will of God. Let me give you something. Let me tell you something. And I don't care what and how much money you make, you can never satisfy yourself if you're outside of the will of God. You will never have the peace of God. You can be so rich to where money, you can burn money in your fireplace. But guess what? You will not have peace if you're not in the will of God. I wish I had somebody. Why do you think so many of those people who make so much money, who we call the rich elite, billionaires and millionaires, why do you think that they always find out that they have some other issues, whether it's drug abuse, whether they commit suicide, or whether they have broken relationships? relationships and things like that. It's because of them not having peace with God. Amen. And so we have to learn that the only way that we can have peace with God is to make peace with him and be in his will. Amen. You got to know that many are the devices of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's counsel that will stand. And when we become part of the church, then we have become part of his body and we have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And so my life now is not my own, but my life belongs to him. Amen. And so when we look at this in the 17th chapter, we find out that Jesus begins, in the 16th chapter, Jesus begins to talk to the group after he had fed the 5,000. He began to talk to them and he began to tell them because the Pharisees, they and the Sadducees, they wanted a sign. They wanted him, show us a sign that you really are who you say you are. And they wanted a sign, and Jesus kind of rebuked them and said, the sign you're looking for, he said, evil, a wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. What was Jesus saying? He was saying that even if I gave you a sign, you would go off as a harlot doing something else until I gave you another sign. And then all of a sudden you would want sign after sign in order for you to trust me. So if I had a sign, I would not have to have faith because all I have to do is follow the sign. I wish I had somebody. And so God said, I want you to have faith in me, not in a sign that I'm going to be with you, but you need to know that, behold, I am with you always until the end of the world. Amen. And so he tells them that, and he said, you will not get another sign except that of the prophet Jonah, where he was in the whale, in the belly of the whale. We call it a whale, but the Bible said he prepared a great fish. He was in his belly for 3 days and three nights. And so must the Son of Man be in the earth for 3 days and three nights, and then he got up. Amen. And so that's the only sign that you need to focus on. The fact that Jesus died, he was buried, and he stayed 3 days and was resurrected by God. I wish I had somebody here. And so after that, he left them and he departed and he began to talk to his disciples. What did he talk to them about? He talked to them. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In other words, beware of their teaching, of their doctrine. If you take a little bit of what they're teaching, it can corrupt you. It can mess up your thought pattern. It can mess up what you do, because the Pharisees, they were law people and they wanted to do things according to the law. And so it was the acts that they did that made them feel more righteous than other people. And so we can't afford to get to a place where we feel so much right, so much righteous, so much more righteous than other folks because of what we do. We need to know the only reason that I'm righteous at all is because of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that separates me from the sinner. That's the only thing that delivers me from hell is the blood of Jesus that cleansed me from all my sin and made me right or justified me with God. Amen. And so he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees when you begin to incorporate their traditions and their ways of worship, their rituals that don't really amount to anything, the additions to the law, the stuff that they added to you must do in order to be this, in order to be that. We got to beware when people add stuff to you in order for you to be saved. They add stuff to you in order for you to be a prayer warrior. They add things to you in order for you to be a person that is a part of the body of the church. We have to beware of those things. Come on and say amen. And so he begins to tell them to beware of not only the leaven of the Pharisees, because you know what leaven does? Leaven makes things rise up. Leaven, it makes things rise up. That's what you put leaven in bread and it starts out flat, but then it rises when you put heat to it. And guess what? God is saying, beware that a little bit of leaven from the Pharisees, a little bit of wrong doctrine will cause you to be prideful and cause you to puff up. Amen? But God is saying he don't want you to be full of leaven. He don't want you to be full of air, just puffed up. I wish I had somebody. But he wants you to be solid in him. Amen. And he tells them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he says, look, you got to watch out because there are some false doctrines out there. We know today that there are false doctrines, but we're afraid to call it what it is. There are many false doctrines that are out there, because anywhere you have real, you always have fake. And in case you haven't noticed, that there are always more fake things out there than there are real things. I wish I had somebody. You ladies know what I'm talking about. You know those purses you like to carry? Those Michael Kors and Philip Lim and Dooney and Burke and Louis Vuitton. They're always fakes out there. And you can pretty much find a fake anywhere, but you have to go certain places to get the real deal. All I'm saying is that you can find fake doctrine, fake word, fake people anywhere, but you got to really go to a place where the word of God is going forth to find real doctrine and real people that walk in the real will of God to have a real way with God. I wish I had some people here that understand what I'm talking about. You can find fake anywhere, but you can't find the real anywhere. You got to go somewhere where it's going to cost you a little something. Amen. You got to pay attention. I wish I had somebody here that realized you got to pay attention to get the real doctrine. Amen. And so what happens here, he begins to tell them that. He begins to tell them you got to watch out. And then they begin to reason among themselves because they didn't understand what he was saying. And they said, is he talking about the bread? And we had the 5,000. And Jesus said, wait a minute. Didn't you understand what happened with the 5,000? It doesn't matter how much you have as long as you know that it's God that's going to provide and make a way and deliver and give. Come on and say amen. He said, did you not understand that we had 7 loaves and 4,000 folks, and then you didn't notice how many baskets you took up? You didn't notice how much God done in that whole experience? You didn't realize it? And so what he was saying is that the proof is in what I'm saying, and the proof is in what God is doing after I say what I do. I wish I had somebody here. And so he begins to tell them that, and then he asked the question. He had a request. He said, who do men say that I am? He began to talk about who do men say that I am. And one thing that you have to know in order to be part of the church, you have to know who he is. You have to know who he is. They said that he said that thou art John the Baptist, meaning that John the Baptist who had been beheaded, that he came back from the dead, and now he was John the Baptist because he had disciples following him, that and they actually baptized in the way that John did. Amen. And then he says that some of them say that you're Elijah because you're supposed to come back. Elijah was supposed to come back before the Messiah comes. They didn't want to make him the Messiah. They wanted to say he was everybody else. They said that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. In other words, you're a holy man, you're a prophet, but you're still not who you really are in their eyesight. Amen? And so they begin to say, everybody's saying this about you, everybody's saying that about you. Well, I want to ask the question, what are people saying about you? What do they say, and who do they say that you are? Do they call you a child of God, or do they call you a child or son of Belial? Do I have any witnesses here? We got to understand something. People need to associate us with who we are. They knew that Jesus was some type of holy man, but they did not know exactly who he was because they didn't have a close relationship with him. And that is the key to being part of the church. You have to have a close walk with God. You have to know him. You can't be a part-time Christian. You have to be full-time. You can't just court God. In other words, I got a date with you on one Sunday a month to go see you. Come on and say amen. And we have us a good time and enjoy one another. Then we go on about our business and I'm back to my regular programming. Amen. But we can't be like that because we have to make sure that we incorporate godly principles in our life day to day, because guess what? God is in your life day to day. If it had not been for him waking you up this morning, you would not be here. I know some of you said I set my alarm clock and it woke me up. But guess what? It wasn't your alarm clock that made you breathe this morning. Oh, come on and say amen. It wasn't your alarm clock that made your heart beat again, huh? Come on and say hallelujah. We need to make sure we understand that we have to acknowledge God in all our ways because he's the one that directs our path. Hallelujah. And so he said, who do man, there was the request, who do man say that I am? And the response that he got was all over the place, but there was one that responded correctly. His name was Peter, Simon Peter to be exact, amen? He responded correctly, and in his response, he began to reveal who he was. He said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. We need to know that God has only one begotten son, but then he has all these adopted sons. ones. I wish I had somebody. He has one that is born heavenly like he is, but then he has us who have come up to become sons after his order because of his sacrifice for us. Come on and say amen. And so he said, you're Jesus, you're the son of the living, not a dead God, but of the living God. He made a response, and he had the revelation of who Jesus was. And Jesus answered in verse 17 and said, blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah. In other words, Simon, Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah means John, basically John's son. Amen. So his name was Simon Johnson. Amen. He says, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Don't you know that God is waiting to reveal something to you? We have to give God time to reveal. But when we pray, most of the time we tell God everything that's wrong as if he don't know. Well, you need to understand that he knows what you're going to pray before you open your mouth to speak. We got to get to a place that we don't get to talking to God as if he's a stranger and have no knowledge of what we're dealing with. We need to pray to God and say, Lord, that's why he said, make your request made known by what? Thanksgiving. We need to thank God. God, I thank you that you know what I'm going through and that you've already given me a solution to what I'm dealing with. God, I thank you, Lord, that you already see and you already made a way. You've already given me healing. You already given me deliverance. You already set the peace in my life that I need to have. You've already given me the joy unspeakable that's full of glory. You need to begin to pray in a way that you know that God knows what's going on. But then allow him to reveal himself to you. And the reason why, and I said this before, the reason why we go through some things is not because God just want to just take you through stuff. And it's not because just God opens up and let the devil take you through all kinds of stuff. But what God does, he takes you through so he can reveal himself to you in different ways. How else would you know that God is a healer unless you've been sick? Preach anyway. How else would you know that God is a deliverer except you've been bound? How else would you know that God is a friend except everybody else left you by yourself and you found out that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? How else would you know that he's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother except you've been out there by yourself? How else would you know that he'll be Jehovah Jireh except he provide for you when you seem to have nothing and no one to give you anything? How else would you know? That's the only way to encounter and experience, and that's the only way for him to reveal who he is to you, is by when he allows you to go through something. You'll find out that he's the truth when everybody's lied to you. Preach anyway. You'll find it out that he's a way maker when they shut the door in your face. You'll find out that he's a blesser and he'll open up the windows of heaven when they shut the doors. That's okay. Let them shut the doors. They can't touch the windows because he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive. Hallelujah. As he began to reveal himself, the Father wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to know who he is. Then he says in verse, we're down to verse 18 now, what we really want to be. He said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. In other words, you're Petra. You're a piece of the rock. Amen. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, first thing to we need to realize the reason why hell can't prevail against us is, first off, then we have an architect that designed us a certain way. We need to know who our architect is. We need to know that our architect, our builder and maker is God. We need to know that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to know that he is the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected, that we should plumb our lives from. I wish I had somebody. We need to know that except the Lord builds the house, they that labor it build it in vain. Come on and say amen. We need to realize that he is our foundation, and if we're founded upon the rock of ages, let me give you some history about this rock. This is the same rock that the in in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, it talks about they receive water from the rock in the wilderness, that Moses, he smote the rock and the rock gave forth water. God told him to speak to the rock and the rock would give forth water. We need to know this is the same holy rock that was way back with Moses and way back with the church while they were in the wilderness to give them what they need. Amen. We need to get to a place to realize that he is the architect. And so if he's the architect, guess what? He is the one that has the plan. God has a plan for your life. God has drew up some plans and you need to follow the path. That's why he says that he'll lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It is all because of his name that he leads you where he leads you to. And where he leads me, I will follow. I wish I had somebody. And if God is the architect, we need to understand that Satan can't stop. Amen. Whenever you get plans, you need to realize that when you get plans, you have to get some stamps of approvals. You have to pay some fines. You have to some fees, and you have to give, and you have to hire people to do the work, all of this. But if you have an architect, he'll take care of all of that for you. And so what I'm saying here is that in our building, when God is building us up, he's paid the price for everything. He's not only paid the price, but he's made the plans. Oh, Lord, help me here. We got to see that God has already paid the price for you, and he's already made the plans for you, and so there ain't nothing for you to do but just be. What do you mean, just be the church? How do I be the church? I do what he wants me to do. I become what he wants me to come. You see, we always say, let's have church. No, I am the church. I'm being the church now. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. If we be the church, we don't need to wait for people to see if the church can help poor people. You are the church, so you are the one ought to help somebody. I wish I had somebody here. You don't need to refer them to the church. You need to say, oh, what do you need? I can pretty much help you with that. And we ain't got to bug the church about this, because I am the church. We got it all backwards. We got it all wrong. We try to invite people to come to the building, to the house, to church. But you need to say, when you're looking at me, you see the church. And you ought to see me as a witness to what God has done. You ought to see that God can deliver people from drugs and alcohol and take you from down to nothing and make you something, that when people write you off, that God can wipe you off. Do I have any witnesses? That's the church. The church is not the four walls. The church is not the padded pews. The church is not the ceiling fans and the light and the podium and the pulpit. But you are the church of the living God. And so he's designed you so that you'll be able to be the church no matter where you go. The church can be under a tree and it's still the church. The church can be by the riverside and it's still the church. Three or four, you get in the car and go somewhere. He said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst. So you are the church. Let's have church. I am the church. Reason why hell can't prevail is because we have an architect. He's the one that created us. He's the one that built us. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without this Word was not anything made that was made. When he said, let there be, he designed everything in the moment. When he spoke, you know what it means? That when he spoke, everything that was to be, it happened all of a sudden. It just happened. Did you know that in his first word, you were in his word? In his first word, when he said, let there be, you showed up, because the light of men, it was in you. You have the light of men inside of you because Jesus is the light. And so you were in him from the very beginning. Oh, come on and say amen here. And not only do we have an architect, the reason why the gates of hell can't prevail, but when we read further into it, he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what he was telling Peter, he said, Peter, you're a piece of the rock. Oh, come on and say amen. You're a piece of the rock. In other words, you're made of the same thing I'm made of. We got to see something here. We got to see that we are lively stones. We're made of what he's made of. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. That's why he said, if any man be in Christ, then he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I've been made over. I've been regened, or regenerated, as we call it. In other words, I've been done all over again, amen? And from the inside out, there is a change. You see, people try to change from the outside in. They want to make themselves look good first. And if I look good, maybe I can measure up to how I look. But God doesn't start on the outside, because once he plant a seed on the inside, you may still be out there running the street, but God's seed is on the inside. You may still be out there doing your thing, but God's seed is on the inside. And from the inside out, he begins to make a change in you. I can't tell you, if anybody here say the moment I accepted Christ, I stopped doing everything wrong and start doing everything right, they're a lie. Because the Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. I wish I had somebody here. We need to know that we make some mistakes. That's why he said that a good man, if he falls down seven times, he what? Gets back up again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he will delight in his way. Though he fall, he should not be utterly cast down. In other words, I may mess up, but I know how to get back up and get in God's face and say, God, I messed up. And look at my hands. They might be dirty, but I need you to wash me. I need you to clean me. I need you to help me. I need you to turn this thing around. Do I have anybody here that say, I've been just like that? I don't always do what I should. I don't always think the way I should. But thanks be to God, I have an architect that designed this thing, and he has a plan for me. Now, you know what I like about an architect is when he designed, if you got to do some demolition, he hires a demolition crew, and they come and wreck out some stuff. I got some stuff in my life that he's been wrecking out for a long time. Some things that he said, oh, we got to get that out of here. If we're going to put some new stuff in there, we got to wreck this whole place. Gut it out. Somebody say amen. The Bible even tells us that when the strong man is bound, that the Spirit of God will go in, kick him out, and then he looks around and he varnishes and furnishes the entire place. Amen. And so what God does, he kicks out the devil. The Holy Spirit fills you with everything that's needed on the inside. He begins to clean you up, and then he begins to furnish you up so that you'll be well equipped. I wish I had somebody. And not only that, so that he could be at home in your life. I wish I had somebody here. We got to get to a place to where we trust God to know that his plan will work. Sometimes we don't trust God's plan, and we try to put our hands on it. We try to make it work the way we think it ought to work. But sometimes you better stop. Just say, hold on, God. I'm going to take my hands off of it, and I'm going to let you have it. You know what? So I used to see those license plate things that said, Jesus is my co-pilot. I'm thinking, you ought to know Jesus ain't my co-pilot. You better let him be your pilot. Let him take the wheel. Let him drive you in the path. Let him get you to the place that you need to be. I wish I had somebody here. He says that upon this rock I'll build my church. He'll build. Who's the builder? Jesus is the builder. Mm-hmm. But you got some people trying to build the church, and they're trying to build it off what somebody else says. They're trying to build it off what they think they ought to do. They're trying to build it off. They try to go and they try to see what they can get, who they can get to come to church. You know what? Jesus is the chief shepherd. Not only that, he's our all in all. He is the architect of the church. He's the builder of the church. And look at this. When we think about a person who's built a building, when they build that building, that person gets credit for it.